God revealed himself to us in many ways, past, present, and even future. And one thing he did was he gave us the written word, actions that happened in history, and they were recorded in the Bible we have, which we have broken into the Old Testament and the New Testament. And really, the whole Bible points to Jesus. The Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament shows us Jesus. And we even see a glimpse of what will be when we see Jesus face to face at the end of the age. I'm going to invite you, everybody has a Bible in front of you, and we have page numbers. If you would, you could open those to the appropriate page number. And I'll give you some time. I'll be reading from Micah 5. And it's a prophecy of what would be the coming Jesus. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as Andrew said, we hear the promise of a coming Savior, a Messiah, in the Old Testament, and here is the answer to that promise. A very familiar passage. But one we celebrate anew this morning, the answer to the promise of a coming king, the birth of Jesus. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. You can find that on page 837 in the Bible that's in front of you. Hear now the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. They all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, and did that to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as had been told them. Amen.
Good morning. My name is KJ Jaramillo. I am one of the elders here at Roosevelt Community Church, and I'm so thankful to be able to share this beautiful thing of Christmas story with you this morning. You know, last night we were able to gather together as a church family and to hear this story presented in a pretty unique and memorable way. And this morning is going to be basically a continuation of that. So as we go into this, let's pray together. Heavenly, Holy Father, awesome, almighty God, we come before you as your people, here to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus, who you willingly sent to this earth, knowing what he would endure on our behalf, allowing that perfect relationship to be broken so that sinners like us could come to you on days like this and cry out to you and to praise you and to worship you and to hear from you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this time and help us to have a new perspective on what it is to know the Christmas story. In your name, Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen. One of the beautiful things about Christmas is that we want to take a little bit of time to just really kind of consider what happened over 2,000 years ago, and to put ourselves almost in that first person and to think about it a little bit different than perhaps we've done it before, to kind of get rid of all of the trees and the presents and the Santa Clauses and all that, and just put our mind as it was then. Not something that's hyperbole or something that we read in a book, but just kind of walk through that. And let's allow some illustrations and art to do that for us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, and all went to be registered, each in his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now just imagine, if you will, there's two weary travelers going. Mary, she's starting to go into labor a little bit, just counting the steps down about when are we going to get there, probably very uncomfortable, dusty, dirty, perhaps even hungry. And they arrive at Bethlehem, and they see a scene similar to this, because you remember that people were basically forced to go and to be counted. So people are clamoring for a place to stay, food to eat. There's chaos in the street, not much unlike we've seen this past month, right? Driving down the road, people trying to get from here to there quickly, all the sales and whatnot. Not exactly the same, but we can picture what that commotion may have been like then. All the rooms are snatched up. There's no room for them at the inn. Joseph is pleading with the innkeeper, please let us stay here. My soon-to-be wife is in labor. Now remember, Mary was probably a teenager. She's pregnant, scared, probably cold, afraid. Baby's coming. I don't know about you, but I know what it's like to have a baby come really quick. That's a story for another time. But it's real, and it feels, and any of you that have given birth, think about all you want is a secure place to give birth and to have your child, and Mary is there. There's nowhere for her to go. What do they do? Joseph is pleading with the innkeeper, please let us in, but there's no room for them at the inn. So they must retire to a stable, or perhaps even a cave. And it's written in Luke 2, verse 6, that the time came for her to give birth. And in the same region were the shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. Now, we've heard this many, many times, but just allow yourself to look at that picture and to put yourself in that mindset as if the shepherds were out there tending to their flock, and the next thing they know, the heavens open up and angels come down, which seems kind of kooky now, right? But this happened. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see these things that have happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, around that same time, as I said, the shepherds were just caring for their flock, minding their own business, and all of a sudden this happens to them. But one key thing to remember is, what did the angels tell them? It says, "Fear not." See, for the shepherds knew through the writing of the scriptures that a Savior would be coming soon. And when the heavens opened up and the angels said, "Fear not," they wanted to share with them the greatest news that humanity could ever hear, a good news for all people, for you and for me, that the Christ has come, that the Savior was born. And if you remember, he said, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, and peace among those who is pleased." Singing and praising accompanies the announcement of his birth. Singing and praising accompanies the announcement of his birth. Now think about that. That is why we gather. That is why we celebrate, so we can proclaim the birth of Christ. Now, what's interesting about this particular passage is that in comparison to the Christmas story, more space and text is devoted to praising God. Not just the birth of Jesus, because in the text it says, "And it was time for her to give birth." She gave birth. Not expanded, not a huge exegesis. But when we look at this passage, we see angels praising. We see heavens opening up. We see shepherds and all dropping to their knees, praising God. That's a good reminder for us. Now, this is the moment that we think about the most. "And when they went with haste, they found Mary and Joseph lying in a manger. And when they saw, they had made known the sayings that they had been told to them concerning the child. And all who had heard had wondered what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured all these things up, pondering in her heart." Now the shepherds rushed to where the angel said the baby would be, laying in a manger, and there is the Savior of the world, a helpless babe laying there, wrapped in swaddling cloths, probably in an animal trough. Think of the smells and the dirt and the commotion and the cold. But undaunted by these surroundings, what was Mary doing? She was pondering these things in her heart. She was looking at her baby. Now, granted, I don't think Jesus was glowing, and I don't think there were chubby angels flying in the air, but she was a mother. And you mothers out there know what it's like to hold your child for the first time and to peer into their eyes. But for Mary, it was even more unique, because in the heart of her heart, she probably knew this was the Savior of the world. Overwhelmed. Now just consider that for a moment, especially the mothers here. You're holding the Savior of the world. Everything else going around doesn't matter, but she has her baby. And she's pondering these things in her heart. This baby is the proclaimed Savior of the world, and his name is Jesus. Now, typically, we think of the Christmas story illuminated by such images like this, but in reality, it's doubtful that Mary was in blue the color of a royalty introduced in the 6th century by the Byzantine artists. It probably didn't have a nice, clean surrounding. The shepherds probably were not that well kept. It would probably didn't see the chubby angel flying at the top of the screen, blowing the trumpet. It was probably closer to like this. Now, this is my opinion, wasn't there. But I think about the surroundings, and I think about the story, and I think about the humility of Christ, and I think about how he brings people together like us in lowly places and high places, and he gives us a place to where we can know him. Isn't that a beautiful thing as we reflect on this Christmas story? That the Savior of the world condescended himself to man, born of a baby, humbled in a manger, around smelly, dirty animals, around stinky shepherds, in a cold, dusty, foreign place because they were forced to be there. All this is ordained by God as the greatest miracle in the history of the world, the Son of God being born as a child in the city of David, the incarnation of the holy and righteous God, a Savior for all humanity. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. So when you consider the Christmas story and its implications in your life, consider these images. Think about the importance of his birth and think about how we know and can know the Savior of this earth. Now, Jesus would go on to eventually die and receive the righteous and unjust punishment from God for our sins, your sins, my sins. But Paul writes in Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might be adopted as son. Now, we know the glory of the resurrection, and we will have to save that story for another time. Today is about recognizing his birth. Today is about thinking about the importance of why Jesus came to this earth. Now, as we conclude, I just want us to think about the significance of Christ's birth. What's this mean? For you, it means that his birth means that you can have the forgiveness for your sins. If you don't know Jesus, this means that he came to this earth to die for sinners like you. He died for sinners like me. He died for sinners like all of us. And all we have to do is receive that gift of his birth, his death, and his resurrection, and to know it into our hearts. That's the good news. That's the good news of the Christmas story. This is the joy and the peace and the hope for all humanity. Spend some time just thinking about the importance of his birth. Just ponder at that picture. Again, Jesus wasn't glowing. It probably didn't occur like that. It's a little out of context, but it gives us a picture of what it could have been like. So in order to better understand the death of Christ, which we remember each Sunday, we first have to remember the birth of Christ. And we have to take it all in, and we have to receive it in a way that's going to build our faith and strengthen us into our Savior. And that's really what I want this time to be about, is for it to be an encouragement to you, not just to only celebrate the gifts, the time of remembering, the singing, but just what did it actually mean for Jesus to be born? What are the implications on your life, and how are you reflecting that? Andrew said a great line early. He said, "Let us rejoice with exceeding joy." And I think that's where we want to be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus. Lord, I pray that this short time that we have would just give us a reflection on why you were born and what that means for our lives. And for those that don't know you, that can know you, Lord. Jesus, you, as you hung on that cross, you thought of them. You thought of their circumstances. You thought of their backgrounds. You thought of everything that they did, but yet you still did it. You allowed yourself to come to this earth, to be born, to be mistreated, to be abused, tortured, disrespected for us, for them, for all of humanity, Lord. And all we need to do is receive that gift. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would move on those that don't know you, that you would save them, Lord, that you would speak to them and that they would receive that free gift of salvation from you because of Jesus' birth, his death, and his resurrection. And may you be glorified, Lord, on this day as we go forth and proclaim the beauty and the rejoicing, and that we can do this with exceeding joy. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.